Good morning and happy Father's Day to all of you dads in the house. Well, and silence fell. Hey, dads, happy Father's Day. Glad that you're here this morning. If you came in this morning and you missed it on the way in, make sure on the way out you stop by that big brown table on the way out the door this morning because we have a gift for you. Actually, we have two gifts for you because on Mother's Day, we only gave the moms one gift. And so we decided that, you know, if you're a dad, you need two gifts. And so what we have for you is a promise bracelet. It looks something like this, but you get to choose. You have some options there. And also a keychain to match, or you can interchange them any way you want. They're there for you. But we just want to wish you happy Father's Day. Let you know how glad we are that you're here this morning. And it's a good day where you got a chance to hear God's worked in the life of our kids this past week. This coming week, we have VBS. Summer is on. And as our summer series kicks off, we're going to talk about welcoming you to the IMF. That's the title of the Bible study this morning. Now, you may not know what that is. That stands for Impossible Mission Force. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, one verse. We're going to unpack that and then kick off a series that's going to talk about how is it that you're going to be able to live by faith each and every day of your life. How are you going to be able to do what it is that you were created to do? And so that one verse is going to help us. And for the next few weeks, we're going to unpack those ideas for you. And I think it is good news for you. But it also is an invitation for you to change your perspective as to how you look at things. And how you look at things really does matter. And how you understand the call of God in your life really does make a difference. So the verse is this: therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Mission Impossible is a franchise that actually started in the 1960s. For those of you in the room that remember the 1960s, you were alive in the 1960s. It had a television in the 1960s. You will remember that television show. If you weren't alive in the 60s and you don't remember the 60s and you don't know how to spell 60, on the way in this morning, if you looked up on the way in, and I know that that's a big ask when you come to church to look up just a little bit, but you actually could have seen pictures of that original 1960s cast of the television show Mission Impossible. Ran for a number of years. Actually, it was reborn for a number of years as a series. In the 90s, Hollywood was trying to figure out what they could do. They needed a new movie franchise, one that would be something that maybe they could build on, that would be an action thriller, a little bit of suspense, strong character drama, and a lot of fun. And so they designed what became the first film called Mission Impossible, directed by Brian De Palma, released in 1996. It introduces us to a character named Ethan Hunt, who is a special agent who does all of the things that you would expect a secret agent or a special agent to do. In essence, he saves the world. Incredible stunts, a lot of action, a lot of things blow up, a lot of twist, and a lot of movie, a long movie, a lot of long movies. And after Mission Impossible came out, the most amazing thing happened. It made $450 million. And when a movie makes $450 million, here's what you can be sure of: there's a second one coming. And in great Hollywood fashion, the second one has come along. Now, about a month and a half ago, they released what is the sixth and final film in the Mission Impossible series. But that was before it started making money. And so now there's, chances are, it's not really the last one. It's the next one in line. And they might make another one now because, again, if they can get all the actors to come back, why not? It's a guaranteed moneymaker. As I sat through this very long movie, somewhere about halfway through, it dawned on me what I was watching and what Mission Impossible is really all about. See, Mission Impossible is a story that's built upon the idea that there is a group of people that are saving the world. That's how they see their lives. That's what their job is. That's how they define themselves, as people who are out there saving the world. They'll do that through whatever means is necessary, using whatever resources they can find, and they figure out how to get it done. And here's the interesting part of that. Nobody knows who they are. They don't get famous. They don't get wealthy. They're not in it for the money. And when it's done, all they have is knowing that they were successful and they did what they were created and called to do. And they have a team of people that they work with that they trust. And somewhere in the middle of this last movie, as I was sitting here watching it, I had a spiritual moment. It dawned on me, that's what the church is. That's who we're called to be. We are called, we are Jesus's A plan to save the world. Now, we don't do the saving, God does, but that's our job. We are agents, ambassadors to the world, and our job, our task, our role is to bring light and hope and salvation to those that we meet. And we do it not for our own glory, not for our own personal gain. We do it because that's what we're called to do. That is our mission. People don't need to know who we are. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for the reasons that are as simple as Jesus has called us to go. So in many ways, Mission Impossible has some spiritual undertones that we're going to build on over the next couple weeks and make some discoveries about our life. Because the challenge for you guys has been this. We've asked you to love like Jesus loves, forgive like he forgives, to live with and to live by. Just have that little faith, and a little faith goes a long way. And if you do, you can change the world. And those are all big ideas. And they're very real ideas. They're gospel ideas. And they're things that you can accomplish. But Jesus has called each one of us to this world-changing, radically upside-down gospel mission to be an agent of change in the world around us. You don't do it for popularity. You don't do it for money. You don't do it for fame. It is rugged, raw obedience. That's what it means to be a part of the Impossible Mission Force. And I got to tell you, it's not an ordinary mission. It's a daunting mission. It's a dangerous mission. It's a divine mission. And that's the mission you're called to. But the good news is you're not in it alone. Because see, if you get up every day, chances are that you're like the bulk of the people in this room. You don't feel qualified to be an agent of change in the world around you. You don't feel qualified to be a world changer. You don't feel qualified to be a part of this Impossible Mission Force because you know yourself. You look in the mirror, you know your shortcomings, you know your failures. You are very much in touch with the fact that you're just probably not qualified to do it. And I don't want to burst your bubble, but you're not. As a matter of fact, look at the person next to you and make this stunning admission. Just say to them, I'm not qualified.
I'm not qualified.
This room is pathetic. I've never been around so many unqualified people. You're not qualified. You're not. There's nothing about you that you've achieved on your own that qualifies you to be an agent of change in the world. But the great news is that this impossible mission is one that God doesn't call the qualified. That's not the way it works. He qualifies the called for the impossible. And so that makes you perfect for the job by your own admission. See, what you just admitted to someone else is the criteria that you need to become a part of this impossible mission force. And so what I'm telling you today is that you are a world changer. And you can change the world. You can change the environment of every place that you go. You can make an impact in the places that you go. And not only should you, but it is what God has called you to do. And so the first thing that has to happen if you're going to make a difference is you have to be different. And the promise that I can make to you is this. If you're obedient, if you take God at his word, if you get serious about impacting the world around you, you probably won't see the results on this side of heaven. But if you're obedient and if you're faithful, people may not know who you are. They may never be aware of what you've done. But one day, someday, when God balances the books, then and only then will you see the impact of your life. And each day, God gives you the opportunity to step in and do the little bit that you can do. And as we have discovered, a little goes a long way to becoming who we're created to be. You were built for this. This is why you were created. This is why God has given you today. You might have walked in the room and thought, there's a lot of other things you were doing today, but I have startling news for you. The only reason you exist and the only reason you get to take a breath today is because God has something for you to do. And what he has for you to do is to follow his call and live out the mission that he's created you for. And so I want to show you three things in this passage as we kick off the series, and we're going to build on it a little bit more every week. And we're going to find ourselves, our calling, who we're supposed to be in the midst of this series. The first thing I want you to see is that you are one of many, one of many. The verse begins, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters." Now, in just a few more spins on the axis, our planet will be home to 8,117,059,282 people. That's an exact number. 83 people. 84 people. 85 people. See, the number keeps getting bigger. But you are one of many on planet Earth. Interestingly enough, when Jesus was alive, it is estimated that the population of the planet at that time was about 300 million. Planet Earth didn't have a billion people on it until the 1800s. And here we are today in 2025. What a bunch of overachievers we are. Makes you feel good about being part of humanity, doesn't it? And what can happen in your life is when you got up this morning, you view your life in one of two ways. You view your life with this attitude, who am I among so many? I mean, come on, by your own admission, you're not qualified to do anything. You've already admitted that. I mean, you're right. You're one of 8 billion plus, and that number keeps growing. So, sure. What can you do? Or you can wake up with the attitude. And that attitude says, gosh, there's 8 billion people. There's a lot of opportunities out there for me to make a difference. And you woke up this morning and you looked at this day in that way. You've either viewed this day as a day that you have unlimited potential and possibility to make a difference, or who are you to make a difference in the world around you? It's just too big. And you're just too little. And when you start deciding that you're going to get serious about being on this mission for God, you're not alone. Because the call of God is not an isolated whisper. It's a rallying cry to a body of people. God has placed in you in this place this morning. And you're in a place where you heard it in the song. You heard it mentioned as the kids were sharing. We believe that church happens and church goes outside of these walls. That's the mission that we're called to. This is a building. This is a cheerleading session. This is your pep rally. This is the moment that you connect with one another. But the real work happens outside of these walls. And everything that you do in the name of Jesus has an unseen effect. But you're called to be part of a movement. And so the mission impossible that God calls us to becomes mission inevitable when you connect yourself to a body of believers and you decide to link your life to the people of God and get serious about this. Why? Because you need a team. The Mission Impossible movies rely on teamwork. All they have is each other. All they trust is each other. But they know that they will be in this thing together till the bitter end. And as each movie ends, they go their separate ways and they go back out into the world and they reconnect to make an impact again. That's the way it works. You may feel small, but you're part of something that's massive. I have no idea why this is Jesus's A plan to reach the world, but it is. I have no idea why he included you and me in this plan, but he does. And when the body starts to move together, when the people of God start doing what they're created to do, here's what I know, the impossible begins to tremble. The impossible is terrified when the people of God are on the move. And because we begin to understand that what happens to us is the worst thing that can happen to a group of people. We get nervous. We get cautious. We become afraid because we also think that we can screw it up. Now, I want you to know, you can screw it up. Matter of fact, as I look across this room, yeah, all the screw-ups showed up. I mean, you're all here this morning. So nobody in this room can say they're not a screw-up. You are. But we've already established the fact that you're not qualified for this. But here's what I know. If you are too cautious, you'll never do anything. And so let me give you a piece of advice that works in life, especially spiritual life, that somehow in the church we don't really pay attention to. Don't be careful. Be competent. See, the call of God is a call of risk. And I would rather you fail trying to do something for Jesus than to sit on your backside and do nothing for him. And so, don't be careful. Be competent. And make sure you understand the definitions. Competent is not getting something right. Anyone can get something right. Competence is doing something so often that you can't get it wrong. See, and we don't work very hard in the church at getting it right. We don't really take seriously this call to live by faith. If we live by faith every day, we just went through a 21-day challenge where the idea was for you to rewire yourself a little bit and start living your life driven by faith and make faith a part of your journey every day. When you start teaching yourself to do that, when you will work at the discipline of doing that, then all of a sudden you become competent. To be painfully honest, one of the church's biggest struggles for years is incompetence. Not because we don't know the truth, because we don't access the truth and we don't put the truth to work in our life. And so, don't be careful. Be competent. And do it so often, correctly, that you don't get it wrong. How do you do that? Well, you connect. Put your team around you. You plug in. Because here's what I know. Nobody in this room is a superhero with a cape. We don't wear capes, but we all carry crosses. And because we are cross-carrying followers of God, Jesus plus one is a mighty force, and it's enough. You are one of many people in the world, but you're called and set apart by God. Second thing I want you to see is also that you are one of a few. Scripture says this, stand firm, let nothing move you. We got a lot of folks who don't take seriously the mission that God has called them to. And you'll never become the person you were created to be until you make the decision to believe and trust and follow Jesus. And while you're 1 in 8 billion, there's a fewer number, a smaller number. Those people have taken seriously the call of Christ, that have made the decision to believe, trust, and follow Jesus. And so, for you to live the life that you were created to live, for you to become that person that God wants you to be, you have to make that choice. And that's a personal choice of the heart and the head. In church, we call it salvation. I got saved. We call it whatever you want. But at the end, it is very three distinct choices that you will believe, that you believe Jesus is who he said he was. You believe that he did what he said he did. You believe in Jesus as he's revealed in Scripture. You trust that when he went to a cross, he died on that cross and he paid the price for your sins, a one-time payment, and he covered the debt that you couldn't cover on your own. His blood, his life, paid the price for your sins. And you have to trust that he did it. You have to trust that when he went to that tomb and he came out 3 days later, he offered to us eternal life if we would believe, trust, and follow him. And that eternal life that he invited you to begins the minute that you believe, trust, and follow Jesus. Not something when you die. It's not the Willy Wonka golden salvation ticket that gets you into heaven. When you came to know Jesus, you started right then and there becoming the person that you were created to be. You started living out your destiny. And the commitment that you made to Christ is also a commitment to follow him. Because Jesus didn't mince words. He said, take up your cross and follow me. And that's the decision that you have to make to become a part of the Impossible Mission Force. Now, I know this is going to mess some of you guys up. Because if you've hung out in church at all, if you ever watched church happen, if you've ever been anywhere around church, you know what happens is that you sing songs, the preacher preaches, and they give an invitation. That is how it happens. Well, I want you to know something. Full disclosure here, I'm not done talking yet. But I'm getting ready to give an invitation right now. It's okay. It won't cause a cosmic rip in the universe. But it means that right now, you've got to be honest. If you're watching online, the same thing is true for you. You've got to decide, do you believe, trust, and follow Jesus? And so what I want to ask you to do is I want you to close your eyes. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Both of them are important. Don't want you looking around. Cameras get tight on me. I'm going to ask you a simple question. If you need to make that decision to believe and trust and follow Jesus, I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to sound like it's hard, but it's not. And I'm looking around the room and people got their eyes closed. But if you need to make that choice, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I just want you to raise your hand real quick and put it right back down. Do it now. Raise your hand, put it right back down. Raise your hand, put it right back down. Hand up, right back down. Okay. I want to pray for you right this minute. And what I want you to do is I want you to pray along with me. It doesn't have to be the same words. I'll pause for a minute. You just pray it silently in your head and heart. Lord Jesus, I love you. I am so glad you love me. And I believe that you did all the things that you said you did. I trust that you made a sacrifice on the cross to forgive me my sins. I trust that you came back to life and offered to me eternal life. And today, I want that eternal life. And I promise to follow you. I want to be a part of the Impossible Mission Force. I want to be a part of making change in the world around me. I want to be everything you created me to be. I love you so much. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, again, I got more to say today, but I want you to understand that while you were doing that, I appreciate you keeping your eyes closed and honoring what I ask. There were people in this room who raised their hands. Now, if you raise your hand this morning, what I need you to do is, before you leave this morning, take one of our worship flyers and just check that little box in there that says, I accept Jesus as Savior. Drop it in the giving kiosk on the way out the door so we know you did it. We got some stuff we want to give you. That'll help you. That'll encourage you. If you're watching online, hopefully you raised your hand and you were okay with that because no one else was looking at you because you were online sitting behind a computer screen. And that's okay too. You're fine. Email us. We've got a ton of stuff. It's not garbage. It's not spam. It's real stuff that will help you in your journey of faith. And we promise you this. We will help you find a church wherever you are in the world. And we'll find a place for you to connect and call family. And so we look forward to reading those emails and hearing from you. Now, let me go back to what I was saying. It wasn't really a commercial, it was just a break. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." You ever considered the fact that being part of the body of Christ makes you a nation? I mean, I realize in our political climate, we fight a lot about borders, but this is a nation that has no borders. As a part of the body of Christ, we are an international force, agents of change in a world that desperately needs to see Jesus, needs to meet Jesus, needs to know the love of God. And so we move, we live, we work, we breathe in him. And so you're not just one of many, you're one of a few who will stand firm when things start to shake and quake around you. See, the impossible doesn't bow to the average. It takes more than that. The impossible yields to the faithful. See, most people avoid the impossible, but I believe as followers, we should stare it down. And we should stare it down without being afraid. And we should stare it down knowing that God has called us to make change in the world around us. Now, full disclosure, though, once again, the narrow road has fewer footprints. Scripture says, wide is the path to destruction. That's the road that everybody wants to run on. Footprints are everywhere. The narrow road, narrow is the path that leads to righteousness. And that narrow road is a road that has two sets of footprints, yours and God's. Because he doesn't call you to go alone. He promises to go with you. Most of you have seen the famous poem, story, whatever it is. It's usually on a plaque somewhere on somebody's wall called Footprints in the Sand. This beautiful story is about walking down the beach and two sets of footprints, and then there's that one set of footprints, and why was there only one? Because God was carrying me. And it's beautiful, man, it just makes your heart just, I don't relate to that at all. Not at all. Footprints in the Sand does not describe my life at all. If I were to have a poem written about my life, it would be called Butt Prints in the Sand. Simply because for most of my life, God has had me by both legs with me sitting on the ground and has had to drag me physically across the sand to get me where I need to go. Those are the tracks that are there, God's footprints and the other tracks. I have a gnawing feeling, though, a lot of you are the same way. I mean, it's really poetic to think I'm side by side with God and he picks me up and carries me. No, God has drugged me. God has drugged me into the places I need to go, and I've obediently finally got to my feet and did what I was created to do. But you have to understand, that is a narrow path. Most people don't want to take that journey. And that's why it's so important that you do. Because we are called to be one of the few, and that makes you dangerous to the enemy. That means when your faith is tested, you don't flinch. It means when you're tempted to quit, you dig in. You choose to be a difference maker, not a crowd follower. No matter who you are, no matter where you are in life, you are called to make an impact. I've said this to you more times than I can count. If you're here this morning, you're here for a reason. If you can hear what I'm saying right now, we're worshiping together. You are not here by accident. God has a purpose for your life. If you're not dead, you're not done. Amen. So quit acting like you're done. See, there's some people who get up every day and they have no idea what to do with their life. They think, maybe I should be doing something, but I don't know what to do. Maybe I'm missing out on something and I don't know what I'm missing out on. Here's what we've learned to this point. A little bit of faith goes a long way. And when you get up in the morning and your first question is, God, what am I supposed to do for you today? You immediately have something to do. And the first thing you have to do is figure out what God wants you to do that day. The second thing you have to do that day is how to do what God's called you to do that day. Then the third thing you have to do is do what God called you to do that day. And then when you get to the end of the day, go back and remember it, thank God for it, and do it all over again tomorrow. Because in life, I've learned a lot of lessons, but one of the things that I have learned that nothing is less important than the score at halftime. I've played a lot of sports in my life. I've been involved in a lot of games. Love to compete. Would rather compete than eat most days. And here's what I know. Nothing matters less in life than the score at halftime. Because until the game is over, until the final score is tabulated, you're in the game. And so, yes, maybe you've squandered a lot of times. Yes, maybe you feel like you have no purpose. Yes, maybe you feel like you have lost half of your life and you haven't done what you needed to do. Too bad, so sad, tough noogies, hike up your pants. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Because today is the only day that you're guaranteed. And today is the day that you have to decide, will I become and will I do what I was created to do and will I flesh out the mission that God has called for me? Because he has placed you right now in the holy now. It is the place where you are. It may not be the place you asked to be. But I promise you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, where you are right now is the holy now. The people, the situations, the things that are around you, that's the place that you're called to be obedient, and you have to embrace that and be obedient now. Not tomorrow, now. And when you do, you'll be fulfilling the mission you were created for. The third thing, last thing, you're also one of him. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. See, you're not just backed by God. You go with God. God doesn't send you out on your own. He goes with you. And so when he goes with you, you then are with him. And so you are one of him. Sometimes in our life, we have adopted the legendary Blues Brothers philosophy. Blues Brothers, a lot of fun for a movie. If you ask them what they're doing, they're on a mission from God. Don't be a Blues Brother. You're not on a mission from God. You're on a mission with God. And that's not parsing words. That's huge. If I go on a mission with God, then I can be guaranteed that God's going to get done what needs to be done. All I have to do at that moment is do my part. And the impossible, then all of a sudden, changes. And to be brutally honest, mission impossible is probably the wrong phrase. It's really mission Emmanuel. God is with us. And if God is with you, then you'll be exactly who you were created to be. So don't get bogged down by measuring yourself against the standards of others. Don't compare what you're doing with what someone else is doing. Jesus makes the difference in you and through you. And no matter who you are, no matter where you are in life right now, do not waste a single solitary moment of your life on second thoughts or missed opportunities. There is not a worse way to squander your life. We've already admitted it. We're not qualified. We've all agreed we're screw-ups. Everyone in this room could have done 100 things different before today. You could have made 100 different choices up to today. But you don't get a do-over in life. You don't get to go back and replay it. You don't get the opportunity to have the second thoughts. You don't get the opportunity to dwell on missed opportunities. You don't get the opportunity to play woulda, coulda, shoulda. You didn't. Get over it. But in your life, don't allow your life to become an apology. Instead, dig your heels in and make your life a statement. Stand for something. Stand for someone. Quit apologizing for what you didn't do, what you screwed up, and what couldn't happen. Make a statement with your life that says, from this day forward, I'm going to take seriously the mission that God has called me to, and I'm not going to stop, and I'm not going to settle for anything less. No one will ever know what I'm doing. It's okay. God's going to put me around the people that need to know, and they're going to support me, and I'm going to be fine because God's with me. And if you will do that, you will change the world. See, when you say yes to the mission, God says, let's do this thing together. And you don't take this mission with willpower. It's fueled by resurrection power. And you're not a volunteer. You're a vessel. And God is using you to accomplish the impossible if you're willing to be obedient. So you give yourself fully, not halfway. It's not about when it's convenient. It's not about when it's easy. It's not about when you want to. I've shared this idea with you so many times before. It was something that I learned from one of my mentors, Phil Briggs, at Southwestern Seminary 1,000 years ago. He said, my Lord did not half die. Who am I to half live for him? You have to go all in. Just like I told you last week, forgiveness is not forgetting. If God could have forgotten what you'd done, he wouldn't have had to die. But you had to be forgiven. And for that to happen, Jesus went all in. And he doesn't ask any less of us The passage we looked at last week in worship is you love like Jesus loved. You forgive like he forgives. And until you do, you cannot live the life that you were created to live. But once you do, you live a life that goes beyond anything you ever imagined. Jonas Salk emerged silently in the 1950s. It was in a time when polio was the scourge of the day, an epidemic that terrorized families around the world. It left thousands of children paralyzed or dead. And it was in that moment that Jonas Salk silently slipped into history. He was a medical researcher, a virologist. He developed the first effective polio vaccine. But what set him apart was not his brilliance, and he was brilliant. But what set him apart was his heart. Because after the vaccine had been invented and after it became available to the public, someone asked him one time, who owned the patent for the vaccine? And he famously said, there is no patent. Could you patent the sun? I created this for everyone so we could be well. He didn't make a dime from the vaccine. He didn't own the patent. Wouldn't have been nice to have him around during the pandemic? But what he did is he gave a gift of life and a gift of hope and a gift of opportunity to people who needed to have it. And that difference made the difference in the lives of millions of people. Today, polio is something that most of us don't even think about. For the most part, it's been eradicated simply because one man was willing to do the work and do the heavy lifting and make the vaccine available. And people, as a result, have been spared from suffering. See, you don't need a stage to change the world. You just need a heart that's willing to do it. While Salk certainly was a gift in the scientific world, you get to live that out in your world. Jesus said in Matthew 10:8, freely you've received, freely give. What have you got that God didn't give you? What have you been given that God doesn't want to use? And when you use your gifts to serve others, you don't glorify yourself. You become a part of something bigger. And you become a part of the impossible mission force. You're one of many. You're never alone. You're one of a few chosen and committed. And you're one of him, empowered by the Almighty. And when you're willing to do the work of the Lord, you just don't do the impossible. You unleash the supernatural. And the result is the world becomes a different place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the moments that you give us are precious. And the moments that you give us are given so that we might become the people that we were created to become. Today, we've already prayed for those and with those who need to begin the journey of faith, who needed that salvation moment. And so that's not what this prayer is about, Heavenly Father, because as followers, we have to be willing to decide that we want to become and do the things that we were created to do. Through every page of Scripture, as we begin to connect the dots, we begin to discover that we're called to be part of an impossible mission force that has no business doing what we're trying to do. And yet, because you're with us, anything and everything can happen. And so my prayer this day is bold, yet simple. Pray that we would do it. That we would recognize that because of you, we're not alone. You are the King of Kings, and we are your children, which makes us royalty. My prayer is that we would embrace that call, that we would live like royalty, and that we would change the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.